Right, humour me, I just want to try something. I just want to time, the reason that timer was there, it's set on 1 minute, that's not how long my preach is going to be. I just want to see if we can pray for a minute, okay? So instead of a minute silence, pray for a minute, and then I'm going to ask some questions off the back of that. So ready? Go. Okay, that was a minute. Let me ask you some questions about what just happened there. Did the time feel long?
No.
Did you pray?
Yes.
How much of the 1 minute did you spend praying? What was it like? What did you pray about? How often had you prayed that prayer before? Did you believe you were praying to God? Were you distracted? What by? How much meaning did the prayer have? Were you aware of your sin while you were praying? Did you feel bold? Did it feel natural? Did you believe that God listened? Did he say anything back? Did you talk for the minute or did you listen for the minute? I wonder what God thought of your prayer. Just think of all those prayers that had just been prayed in that 1 minute and all those prayers that weren't prayed. When are you most connected to God? When are you most alive in him? Not when is your friend or your neighbour or your family member, but when are you most connected to God? What grabs your heart? When I think about getting back to basics, I think about keeping the communication lines open with God. I think about talking to him where I'm at, not where I feel I should be or where everybody else is at. I believe it's essential to talk about what is real. That's relationship. Why would I not do that? What do you find yourself doing when you're most connected to God? I know the odd person in this room who's bored with church. They don't connect. But when they're in Mexico, they come alive. That's okay. That's when they're most connected to God. When are you individually most connected to God? I was most connected to God a number of years ago, which I'm ashamed to say, because I should say I'm most connected to God now. But actually, it was a number of years ago when I was prayer walking. When was that? 13 years ago. I needed to be outside. I developed a depth of relationship with God whilst prayer walking that I'm now jealous of. You might have thought I was mentally ill the amount of time I spent praying. Maybe 5 or 6 hours a day. It was kind of like, the only way I can describe it, has anyone seen the film Castaway? Well, in that film, Tom Hanks, there's this plane crash and he gets lost out on this desert island. And there's this volleyball, and he draws a face on this volleyball, and he names it Wilson. And there's no other people around at all apart from Tom Hanks and his volleyball, Wilson. And he develops a relationship with that volleyball and talks about it. And absolutely no holds barred, and that volleyball hears everything about who Tom Hanks is. That's what happened whilst I was walking. So if I was walking along, just God and I sometimes up on the north coast of Scotland in the middle of nowhere, maybe I'd twist my ankle or something. That was an hour-long conversation. That's weird, isn't it? You might consider, Gary, you are a little bit odd. In that period, that was when I was most connected to God. See, the danger we can get into is because we believe and know that God knows everything, we don't tell him anything. That kills relationship. Fundamentally, for me, getting back to basics is about a lifestyle of including God. That's prayer. spending time including him. Or better still, allowing him to include us. Talking to him about anything and everything. In the time that you're in, the present moment. Meditating. Silence. Slowing down the pace of life. Praying under your breath. You can't replace prayer with anything else when it comes to communicating with God. Because prayer itself is the relationship. You can't replace it with reading your Bible. You can't replace it with talking Christianity with your friends. You can't replace it with theology. Prayer is the relationship. If you don't have prayer, you're not a Christian. Prayer is the relationship. Listen to this from Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Prayer is very, very personal. You should see there's a great deal of difference when I pray on my own and then when I pray in public. I'm very well behaved when I pray in public. Not so much when I pray personally. A little bit like what Bex was saying earlier. Some of her venting her anger towards God and maybe the odd swear word. Or just how we are actually in ourselves is often different. Really, the aim is to blend those two worlds. That how you pray in private should be how you pray in public. One of them's real, isn't it? And one of them's fake. God calls us to be real. Is there a difference between your private prayer life and your public prayer life? Do you dress it up for people? Or are you yourself? God wants to hear from your heart. I wonder if you actually spend any time with him these days. In the mornings. Well, Julie's going to come and share a little bit with us. Julie Bowman. You said you'd want to be near the beginning somewhere. About her personal prayer life. Over to you, Julie. At least I think that's what it's about, is it?
When Gary first asked me about praying, about my personal prayer time, I thought, oh no, why did he ask me? And I did struggle with it, tossed and turned it over in my mind for a day. Anyway, I thought, well, I'll go for it as he's asked me to. So I just thought I'd talk about my journey. When I first became a Christian, I had two young boys. And it took quite a long time before I started really praying. I remember Graham encouraging us to pray for 5 minutes a day. And I thought, gosh, that's a long time. Anyway, gradually, over the years, I started spending time in the mornings with the Lord. I'd get up before the boys woke up. And I'd spend time then. And obviously, the rest of the day was obviously very busy. And I suppose it was just a discipline of getting up in the mornings and spending time with the Lord. And that was really good at that time. Over the years, the boys have grown up and left home. So I'm home alone, but not alone because I've got Jesus with me. And it's so much easier now. I do get up, but I just feel that the Lord's with me all the time. I tend to have a lot of quiet. I don't have the television or radio on very much at all. So Jesus is just kind of with me all the time. So I just talk to him as I would anybody else. I do have my moans and groans. I've had prayers that I'm still waiting for to be answered. But it's just such a close relationship, and I just thank God for that. I guess I sort of have times when there's special times of really feeling like you've come into another level, and it's like coming into Holy of Holies with God. But they're not very often, I'm afraid. I'd like more of that. Other times you feel like the Spirit just takes over, and praying in the Spirit and tongues and groans, just groans from the Holy Spirit. And again, that doesn't happen very often. I'd like it to be more. But most of the time, I just talk to the Lord, and it's just like Jesus is there with me all the time. When I go for walks, just chat, like Gary says, you just talk to him as if you would anybody else. And I find these days I'm thanking him more when he reminds me of things. You know, sort of forget or lose something. Oh, thank you, Lord, you've shown me where that is, or remind me about something. So, yeah, he's just such a close friend. And like last week, we were reminded about Anna and about Mol, who spent, well, Anna spending all that time in the temple praying and fasting. And I sort of would dearly love to get to that stage later on. But the Lord knows, and what I'm doing now is good. That's what he wants. And later on, who knows? And as I say, when you're a busy mum and you just, or dad or whatever, just life's so busy and you just have that slot, that's fine. That's good. God just wants you to spend time with him. But that's it. We do need to pray to maintain the relationship with God. And if we don't, you're just missing out on something so special. So, okay.
Thanks, Julie. That's great.
Thank you.
That was just so personal, wasn't it, to Julie? And I think that's the point of prayer, that it should be from who we are. I'm challenged by the thought that if we relate more to everybody else in our lives, be it our family or our friends or our work colleagues, than we do to God, maybe it demonstrates that it's not that important to us. I've found myself talking to a number of Christians lately, especially men, who've communicated to me a sense of losing God when it comes to prayer. Where is he, they ask me. And I find myself deeply relating to this experience. They remember and relate to past encounters with him. They're switched off spiritually and have very little personal day-to-day relationship with God. They're too busy to slow down. I'm too busy to slow down. I like this phrase, pray from your heart. If you're lost, that's where your prayers should begin. Pray from the honest and central place, from who you are. If you're full of faith for healing, pray for healing. If you're lost, pray about being lost. If you want to reflect and listen and meditate more, do that. Have we lost the simplicity of prayer? Praying in the moment that we're in. If you've got big questions, then they should be the fuel of your prayer. If in here are big questions, you should be praying about big questions. If in here is faith for healing, you should be laying your hands on the sick and praying for them to be well. If in here is anger, then you should be angry. We should be bringing ourselves, surely. If we're not bringing ourselves to God in prayer, who are we bringing? Who is it? Is it all made up? God wants us. Listen to this from Luke chapter 18. This is one of my favourite passages. I don't know why. Luke chapter 18, 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He didn't think very much of himself, did he? He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast, So he was angry and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other one, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The tax collector was commended. More than that, he was justified for praying about himself. Because he prayed where his heart was at. He was angry. One prayer had heart and connection, and one didn't. One prayer was praying for others to be seen, and the other one was prayed to God. Personally, I'm in a little bit of a desert time. It's really annoying. I've lost some of those connections with God and those communication lines. They've been affected by suffering. On this occasion, it's not too much about my own personal suffering. It's about the suffering of others. It's about people that come to me, clients that come to me for counselling. I'm deeply affected by their suffering. Doubt has crept in that God is love and that God is good. This trust must be restored in order for prayer to work in the long run for me. It must be. So that in itself needs to be the source of my prayers and my study. To relearn again that God is love and that God is good. They need to be the source of my prayers. And when I'm driving into the Bible, that's what I need to be looking for. God is love, God is good. Because I've lost the sense of that in the face of human suffering. Some of you might relate to what I'm talking about. The Bible can help me. Faith comes from hearing the word. And the Bible often restores our beliefs. I need to start believing again that God is good. And that God is love. This was demonstrated really well last week when Ellie got ill. She got pneumonia, as you know. And there was some toing and throwing in my thoughts towards God. We ended up at the hospital. She had a high temperature and a high heart rate, and Joey and I were quite scared. And I'd never been to it like a paediatrics A&E. I didn't even know that existed. I thought we were all lumped in together in A&E, but we went through this separate lot of double doors and there were loads of kids and children. It's my worst blimmin' nightmare to be around kids, little babies and children suffering. I can't stand it. Maybe I'm too sensitive. I can't deal with it. I'm like breaking down inside at the thought of all this suffering. I spoke to Aidan like a week later and he goes, that's one of my favourite places. They've got this TV up there and you can watch all these kids' programmes. And I'm like, what? Like my heart was busting. I couldn't stand it. And in the middle of it was my daughter projectile vomiting all over the ward. And a kid comes in, they've got a broken arm, they're 19 months old, they scream for 3 hours. We were sat next to them. I timed it. There are other kids. Another one comes in with a burst appendix. And I'm like, what is going on here? I was crushed inside. And my prayers went like this. God, heal Ellie. God, why won't you heal Ellie? God, heal Ellie now. In the authority of Jesus, I command Ellie to be healed now. God, why won't you heal Ellie? God, you're making me angry. Ellie is still not healed. God, what are you doing? God, you're not good. You can't be good because there's loads of kids in this ward suffering. You can't be loving. They're all around me. God, what are you doing? God, I love you. God, I think I love you. Do you love Ellie? Do you love me? Do you love the other kids in this ward? What's going on here? So I've got all this to-ing and fro-ing. But do you know what? The missing ingredient in all of it was I wasn't trusting God. I didn't trust him. It had gone. It had gone missing. Instead, it was replaced with anger. But do you know what? I was praying. And I was praying reality. I was still connected. And actually, I don't think God was that disappointed in me. I think he was actually quite pleased that I was talking to him. He was there. He was with it. Ellie got better. She's fine now, but some kids don't. And in the time it took me to say that phrase, probably 500 kids had died. Some kids don't get better. But actually, we need to somehow trust God in all of it, don't we? Because if we lose our trust, we're lost. And I'm scared that I'm losing my trust. So that should be the source of my prayers. Let's listen to a couple of people that are in a different place to me, or they might be in the same place to me. Because actually, prayer life is about different seasons. I've not always been in this season. I've seen incredible things happen in my life. Some of you have read the book, the prayer, but I've seen healings and miracles and amazing things. I've been in a different season. At the moment, I'm in a horrible one. It's not very nice. But actually, let's hear from Sue's in a different season at the moment. And let's hear from Sonia, who's also in a different season from Sue, different season from me and different season to one another. Because that's what prayer's like, isn't it? So let's hear from Sue first and then Sonia, if you want to follow after Sue.
Gary asked me to speak last week and on answered prayer. So I've spent all week, because I always want to be current, so I've said to God, okay, give me something now. Not something that happened last week, whatever. Give me something now so I can speak on Sunday and people will know who you are and that you are alive and you are here right now. Anyway, Friday, I'm swimming as usual on Friday morning, and one of the lifeguards, Ryan, in case any of you know him, he's wandering around the pool like this. So I said, Ryan, would you like me to pray for you? So he said yes. Anyway, I got out of the pool and I said, let me go and get changed because it's a bit inappropriate. give me, I'll be back in 5 minutes. Anyway, so I went into the changing room and I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, I need you. I need you to show your power to Ryan. I need Ryan to know that you're real. Anyway, so I go back into the swimming pool, and he's in his little cubicle. So I said, okay, Ryan. I said, I sat down opposite him, and I said, give me your feet. He went, you're not having my feet, Sue. I said, Ryan, give me your feet. No, you can't touch my feet. I said, Ryan, give me your feet. The reason I need your feet is I need you to see that side, this leg, will be shorter than that leg. And in fact, we got this from Roger Cole, who was here a year or so ago, I can't remember. Anyway, he gave me his feet. And quite just exactly that, what I said, you had one leg, this leg was out here, the leg that was obviously where the pain was shorter. So I said, in the name of Jesus, grow. Grow in Jesus' name. Grow out. Release whatever is trapping, whatever being held there. Anyway, the leg grew. So, and I said, stop, because I was afraid it would go further. Anyway, I said to Ryan, did you do that? Now, I knew he didn't do that, but I wanted him to see that. So he said, no. No, I didn't do anything, Sue. I said, well, I didn't do anything either. That's Jesus. Anyway, I then asked him to stand up, and I put my hand on his back where he had been holding it. And I felt heat, and I knew he felt heat. And I prayed again. I just said, pain, be gone. In Jesus' name, be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Anyway, when I finished, he said to me, I'm hot. I'm sweating. I'm really hot, Sue. I said, that's the power of God on you. I said, listen, you've got a choice now. Ryan, I said, you can go away from here and you can laugh about what's happened and you can, you know, whatever, mimic it, whatever you want to do. I said, or you can believe that Jesus has healed you. And what I want you to do is to say thank you, to take that, believe it, and say thank you. Well, I went away, and Gary asked me to say how I felt. I was I was on cloud nine. I was really happy. I was really chuffed. But I was also, I can't tell you, I just want more, right? I just want more. Anyway, on Saturday morning, I don't normally swim on a Saturday morning, but I just felt that I had to go in case Ryan was there and to have him, because I knew I was speaking today, to have him confirm what had happened. So Ryan's there and he's walking around the pool as normal, no problems. So I said, and I'm swimming up and down, so I said, Ryan, how's your back? It's good, Sue. Says good. He said it's, I can't quite remember his exact words, but something, he had had no, the pain had gone yesterday. He was healed yesterday. Thank you. That's where I am. Bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Sue. Fantastic. Thank you.
Mine's a bit of a different story, and I kind of wrote it down because I'm really nervous. But when Gary asked me to talk about unanswered prayer, my thoughts were to regard to my own healing. For those that don't know, I've got a long-term autoimmune disease, and for a good number of years, it had been a good, stable place. But about 18 months ago, it started to be really bad, and I had a relapse. This is when I often doubted God. I suggested to him all the ways he could reasonably answer my prayers. A time when I thought of a perfect solution and I would ask God to make it happen. But then I waited and waited, wondering why he hadn't answered my prayer the way I asked him to. I found when you're in the darkness of unanswered prayer, it's so easy to grow weary, discouraged, frustrated and impatient in our times of waiting. But also, if we trust God that he wants only the best for us and it is worth not rushing ahead or trying to force things or make them happen in our own time. I've experienced if you stay close to God in the darkness, eventually the light will shine to you again and you become so glad that you didn't turn away in the moment of disappointment and of fear. Faith casts out fear, and fear can make you not be in the present, afraid of the future. And so often I was so afraid of the present, but even more afraid of the future. So often in life we want immediate answers, but sometimes this isn't what God has for us. The past 6 months, God has walked me through these times, and they've been really challenging. A time when I've so nearly given up asking for my healing, when I've been so angry and so cross with God. But also, he's walked me through some best times when I've grown so close to him. I've begun to realise that sometimes when you're going through these times, you're also able to help others. I was always thinking that I had no real purpose. I was ill. I wasn't good enough. But the past 3 months, God has opened up so many doors for me. He's put me into situations that I can share my story of how I'm coping and how to help them through times that perhaps aren't easy. This journey isn't one that I would have chosen, and it's often not an easy journey for me or my family, and it often feels like a roller coaster. But I must never forget that God is the centre of all that I am and all that I do, and that as I seek and ask him for my healing, that I will continue to be a witness to him by showing his love and care to others around.
Thanks, Sonia. Great. So completely contrasting stories, but equally important. And Sue, you forgot to say that you'd be willing to pray for anyone afterwards. So if anyone needs prayer, especially related to a bad back, Sue would like to pray with you afterwards. But do you know what? Before an answered prayer happens, it's unanswered. So in the life of a Christian, we have sat side by side, unanswered prayer, and answered prayer. That's the Christian experience. And you all know it, because you live it. That is what it's like. So just be you. We can get trapped in shoulds and musts and oughts. I don't even know where they come from. God wants you to be you. If you take a quick look at the Lord's Prayer, you can see what Jesus is doing. He's saying, pray about anything and everything. There's no set musts. It's not meant to be formulaic. The Lord's Prayer couldn't be more welcoming to pray from the heart and leave us with plenty of options. It's really diverse. Listen to this. There's intimacy, our Father. There's worship, hallowed be your name. There's trust, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Almost forgot the Lord's Prayer. There's asking, daily bread. There's forgiveness in there. There's battle in there with temptation. There's power in there. Talk about an invite to pray how you want. Do you think that Jesus meant prayer to be formula driven? Do you think his whole communication with Father God was saying the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again? Do you think that's what his relationship was? Do you think that's what he meant when he gave the disciples the Lord's Prayer? No, he meant pray with freedom. He meant pray from your heart. I'm just coming to wind up now. But before we do that, I've just got a clip to show, which is 2 or 3 minutes. But the Bible is a book about God being in relationship with human beings. It's interaction, it's life, it's vibrancy. If you're bored of prayer, something's gone wrong. Maybe you've stopped being you and you've gone into formulaic praying. You've gone into parrot fashion praying. We pray because prayer is good for us. It's good for us spiritually. It's good for the core of us. It helps you to become the person you crave to be. And I've found this general rule applies. The more you pray, the less you sin. It's a general rule, but I've found it in the life of my family and friends. So much so that Joe and I know if the other one has been spending time with God. We actually know. Because the more you pray, the less you sin. Just before we show this clip, Psalm 84 says, "Blessed is the man whose heart is set on pilgrimage." Set on prayer. Set on journeying with God. You're blessed if that's your heart. So I'm just going to end with this clip, and then Graham and I are going to have a quick discussion about what to do next.
Speak freely, as though to a friend who unwinds your frustration into peace, laughter, or discovery. Too often we overthink prayer, inject complication into clear water, arguing over how to do this. On your knees, hands stretched out towards a cross, an altar, the skies, does it matter? If I wanted to know you, I would talk to you. On the phone, in a text message, or the latest app, I would say what I am thinking. Hoping we're in the same book, eager to learn what page you're on. If you wanted to know me, you would listen. Unravel your person and excite as we start to understand each other. I want to know God better. He's been waiting for me. Maybe you too? Sometimes walking down the street or in the pocket of a day, I want to speak to someone who understands that a day has been crushing or impossibly brilliant. Someone who walked my side through it. Sometimes I want to talk it out loud, other times in my head. I let the words fall out at will. I don't question the ease or difficulty of the flow. If I am silence, it must be time to listen. If I am words, it's time to share. I come with joy or sadness or anger, but I come. I have seen God move through bombshells I took for failure. Before revolving moons revealed in them treasure I didn't know I had. Like how unemployment can drive you to a new talent, or how God sometimes waits for you to exhaust your strength and all your options, only to show you there's more. He's more. When the world is one bubbling unrest, and provocateurs come around easier than solutions, when friends and family are hidden from peace and all I got is questions, I have learned to pursue my options in prayer to a God who sees what I can't, asking for strength and direction to live him out loud in ways that bring shelter to a shuddering world.
I can ask the musicians to come back. We're going to finish with the worship song this morning, but I just want to applaud in the right way those who have made themselves very vulnerable this morning. And I think sometimes there are masks that we wear in church and we're not always as honest as we should be, but I think the vulnerability, both in the positive and also those who are struggling, has been very, very refreshing. And I think, as Gary indicated, there are those of us amongst you that can pray for you this morning, particularly if you're sick. Maybe you are struggling. Maybe that things have not gone the way that you wanted to. Maybe there's disappointments from prayers that have not been answered. And just as we finish this morning, as we worship, there's an opportunity just for people to pray with you. And we're a family, so there's no need to be embarrassed. It's part of encouraging one another and building one another up. And if you're part of the leadership, can I just encourage you just to come and stand with me so people don't feel sort of lonely having to walk here and get prayed for. And then if you feel, if you've come in this morning and God's put something on your heart to encourage any of the people that have spoken this morning, you've got a word in your heart, you're most free to come and share it. And I know James just wants to say something just before we continue to worship.
Cheers. First of all, before I say what I was going to say, Sue, you can pray for my back. I think I have got one leg shorter than the other, and I've had ongoing problems with it. So there we go. I've said it. Pray for me, and we'll see what God does. I was running this morning, in fact, and just felt God say to me again, running the race, the Christian walk, is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We've heard this morning various stories of people's run with God. Actually, there's times where you run and you feel free. Other times you feel not quite great. On a marathon, you hit the wall. Sometimes you need one of those energy tablets to slip into your mouth to give you that little kick of sugar to help you carry on. Sometimes you need to stop at a drink station. The walk, the run, is a marathon. And that came out this morning. And as we journey together in this marathon together, I just felt like, I don't know who was here on Wednesday, but God was starting to stir something fresh and new again. I don't know who was here, but I couldn't put my finger on it. It's been sort of one of those things that's been growing inside me, and I use the word revival, and I haven't used that word for a long time. And revival means to live again. And actually, if we want to take it out there, God's got to do it in here first. Not just once, but every day, over and over, when we hit the wall in the marathon. And I just felt like the word appetite came to me. That God not only wanted people have got an appetite to pray, but actually God wanted to do it within SKCC. That there's an appetite that is starting to bubble underneath, that is sort of burning in you, wanting to start. That little bit of a flame, maybe that tiny bit of hunger that you're not quite sure what to do with, that God was going to increase. Appetite for prayer, appetite to see the things of him, appetite for holiness. It just felt like God was doing something on Wednesday, and we prayed for each of these chairs. That sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? I didn't see any healings. Not even to that chair in the corner with a broken leg. But we prayed for the chairs because we wanted to pray that whoever sat in them this morning would be blessed, would be challenged, would be equipped, healed, whatever God wanted to do. So I'm praying in faith this morning that whatever chair you've sat on, that God would do something in you. And there's an appetite. God said, there was a word that Chris gave us that we saw on the first Sunday here about a table of food, a feast that was coming before us. And it's like God's putting down plates in front of us, and one plate might say justice. It might be prayer. It might be holiness. But God's going to give us an appetite for those things, a new impetus to want those things. We can't come about up ourselves. It's got to be God's Spirit in us, doing something in us. So I just felt Wednesday, something was stirring. And I feel like that is linked in what Gary said again this morning on that marathon, that God, as a church, as a group of people, that God was going to do something in terms of our appetite for the things of Him. Who wants that? I don't want it by myself, because I'm in my nature, my sinful, fleshful nature. I don't want that. But actually, because of what God's doing in it, in me, the Spirit at work within me is saying, there's a thirst, there's a dryness, there's a hungriness for you, Lord Jesus. And it's about prayer. Prayer. It's about prayer. Amen.